Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire.
Welcome to another episode of the Forgot My Dice podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Edwards, and with me, of course, the dousing rod to my divinations, Mr. Robert Lundgren. How you doing?
Hello. Doing good. It's Christmas break. Children are home. Well, the one that's in school. Still.
Not for much longer.
I know. Are yours on the same schedule where they go back Thursday?
Yes, they do, in fact, go back Thursday. And
nice.
Even though it is lovely to have them around, I am absolutely ready to have large swaths of time where they are otherwise engaged, and I think they need the structure because they're all going a little bit insane.
Yeah. We had to go to, we live right by a grocery store, and so I had to go pick up something dumb because it's handy to have one in walking distance. So I'm like, I'm going to go walk to the grocery store, and my kid freaked out. Like, I said, hey, the sidewalk's made out of chocolate. Do you want to go lick it the whole way there? Like, she's like, yeah, let's go. It sounds great. It's amazing. And I'm like, oh, okay.
She's missing that social outlet.
Yeah. And we haven't gotten anything from the teacher yet, so she hasn't had any, you know, play dates with other kids since break started. So yeah, she's going a little stir crazy.
Yeah,
poor girl.
Yeah, so are mine. I think that the break is plenty long. You know, it's different in the summer because there's a lot more outside time. The fact that they're cooped up because it's cold isn't helping any either.
No.
It snowed here yesterday.
I heard. I saw the wife, your wife posted it on the Facebooks.
Yeah. It's two snows in 1 month in Texas before January is, in my 10 years here, unheard of.
Yeah. It snowed both times it snowed when I was living there. It was in February, so.
Yeah, January, February tends to get really cold.
Weird stuff. You know what it is? I am Texas's David Bowie. I leave and, like, reality gets unstable.
I don't like this. I need you to come back now. For a variety of different reasons, I need you to come back.
I think we've chatted long enough, Jonathan. Let's get to announcements.
All right. So, first announcement, a little bit of business that we need to get out of the way. Thank you so much to everybody. While we stick around and learn how to remote record, you might have noticed some odd audio issues in the last episode. We're still working out what this remote record model looks like, so bear with us. There's going to be a little bit of learning here and there, and we will get past this just like anything else.
I figured out the high-tech solution because I was hearing an echo as I was editing the recording, and it was driving me nuts. And I figured out what the problem was. It's the corner of the bedroom that I record in. So I have done the high-tech thing and hung up a blanket. And it appears to be fixing everything. So, high-tech. It's a blanket from Old Navy. It's one of those fleece ones.
I like it.
Yep. It's the future. So anyway, yes, thank you, everybody, while we figure this stuff out and improvise.
And, of course, a big thank you to our patrons over at Patreon. You help us keep the lights on, and we really, truly appreciate it. If you want to join in on the Patreon drive, please just go to patreon.com and search for Forgot My Dice, or hit the link at forgotmydice.com.
And lastly, okay, it's time for the contest, because we're not putting it off anymore. No more test driving, Jonathan. We're in the driver's seat. We're behind the wheel.
All right, Robert's in charge of this. I'm not in charge of this.
It's
all
black
Robert.
And white, and it's like noir, and I'm dressed up like James Dean, and that means you're in a 50s sweater with the Betty and Veronica do. Yeah, this is good. We're in control.
You're in control, so tell us all about it. How's the contest going to work, Robert?
Okay, so we're going to do it on Twitter, like we did for the Game Hall Bag contest. So we're going to run this guy for two episodes. And we're going to ask you a question this episode, and you'll have two chances to enter because there'll be a different question. So the first question is, on Twitter, you need to say or tell us, what is the scariest space monster you can think of? And use the hashtag FMD contest, which will be in the show notes. Send it to us at Forgot My Dice. Send it to Stronghold Games at Stronghold Games. It's all very easy. And if you do all those things, you will get entered to get a copy of Space Freaks, the new pink boxed game of wonder and amazement from Stronghold Games.
Yes, which looks awesome, by the way. I really, really, really want to try that game.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to enter?
No.
Dang.
That seems
yeah, it is. What's, it is.
Not immoral. What am I thinking of?
Wow, that's I know. This really did escalate quickly.
I'm tired, man.
Unclean. It's
New Year's Day. I was up till 2 a.m. last night. Not drinking, but yeah.
Rookie.
And then I had to get up at, well, I got to adult sleep in until 8 a.m., which, yeah, just it messed me up.
Aw, it's just adorable.
I know. Because that was when the kids in the crib started screaming, and it's like, oh, it's, I guess, time to get up now. It's 8 a.m. So there you go. Hashtag FND contest, at Forgot My Dice, at Stronghold Games. Scariest space monster you could think of, be it a movie or a TV show or whatever, comic book, board game, video game, whatever freaked you out that was a space monster, tell us and enter yourself to win a copy of Space Freaks. And we will do another question next episode, which will be different, so you can enter twice to double your chances. And then in episode 34, which doesn't have a title yet, maybe episode 34, like Spaceballs 2, the search for more money or something. I don't know.
None of our episodes ever have titles until after we record.
That's true.
I don't know why this is such a surprise to you.
Anyway, yeah, we'll announce the winner in episode 34. And at that point, you should probably like both us and Stronghold Games so we can like private message you if you haven't already. So there you go.
Well, it's time to move on to our off-the-shelf segment, and this is, of course, our segment where we talk about all of the cool, geeky stuff that we've managed to get off of our shelves and into our lives. Now, this could be board games, this could be minis, this could be RPGs, they could be video games, or, of course, movies and TV. So, without any further ado, Robert, why don't you start us off? I understand that you, lucky dog, you got one of the SNES classics.
I did! And unless I had to buy the controller extenders, because the controllers they give you are stupidly short.
Are they? They used to be, I think, in the original SNES, if I recall correctly, they were only 4 foot.
I think they're 3.
Oh! Well, there's no CRT anymore, so you don't have to worry about burning your retinas. So we're going to go ahead and get you up real close.
Oh, no. Now the entire TV fills my field of view, and it just hurts.
Anything over about a 27-inch TV and 3 feet is just not enough.
No. It's a proprietary cord type, you know?
Of course it is.
So, yeah, you can't just get a USB extender. But luckily, Amazon had a two-pack for like $9, so I got that. But I've been playing Super Mario RPG, which the daughter loves watching because she likes the story. I've been playing a little Yoshi's Island, which I don't know how it happened, but that got harder since the last time I played it, because surely it's not my ability.
No, sadly, I think it's that you got older and slower.
No, it got harder.
I know that feeling well. I was playing Ninja Gaiden the other day, a game that I've probably beaten 20 times in my life. Couldn't even make it a quarter of the way through. I'm just not there anymore.
We're not getting old, Jonathan. I didn't. Did I tell you I got new glasses?
No, not old at all.
No. Well, hold on. I got new glasses, and my eye doctor, he didn't give me bifocals. He gave me blue lenses. Now, just because the bottom of it has a slightly weaker prescription than the top does not mean it's a bifocal, I assure you. I got blue lenses because they block out blue light from the LEDs. That's what I'm going with. I'm not older. It's the LEDs' fault.
This is the most complicated and well-structured excuse for not aging I've ever heard in my life. I want you to know, every one of us who has listened to this is a little bit simultaneously smarter and stupider for having heard this.
Do you award me no points? I may God rest my soul.
Yes, I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. You are older. Just embrace it, man. There's just no getting around this.
In any event, it's cool. It's a nice little system. I'm looking forward to the N64 Classic, which I am assuming will come out sometime later this year, and will be awesome and fun and everything.
I don't know. The N64, there's enough of those just lying around. I don't know that we necessarily need a classic. You can readily find those for like $30, $40.
Yeah, but when I broke up with an ex, she managed to steal my copy of Ocarina of Time and Mario 64, and I've just never replaced them. So I think I'll do it with this. And I think I'm done. I don't need like a GameCube classic or a Wii classic. Those are too recent. But yeah, an N64 classic I could do.
Well, I mean, you know, living on in the Pacific Northwest, you can basically recreate an N64 game on a regular basis every time it gets foggy.
Wah, 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 yeah, wah.
I went there.
That happened yesterday.
All right. Well, moving right along. So you've got a lot of SNES games that you've been playing. What's the big one?
Super Mario RPG, a little Final Fantasy III, a little bit of Earthbound. Been playing Earthbound a little bit.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island, been playing that. Played a little, or Yoshi's Island 2, especially. Been playing that a lot. Gave Castlevania 4 a try. I've tried everything.
Oh, that's a classic. I love Castlevania 4.
Yeah, but I've been spending
That was the first game to have the Mode 7 really kind of advertised.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, F-Zero and Mario Kart and all that. But, yeah. Mostly RPG, the Super Mario RPG, mostly that.
And then I see you've still been playing some Injustice 2?
Well, no. I got that since the last episode. So, yeah, Justice 2, the Ultimate Edition was...
Oh, because, yeah, guys, I was letting you play Injustice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what do you think of 2?
Stupidly cheap. Like, the Ultimate Edition got down to, like, 60% off.
Yeah, no, there were a ton of games that got stupidly cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you have Hellboy as a character?
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Starfire. Love me the Starfire.
I'm all about Flash, Raiden, and Hellboy. Those are my three.
Nice. I like Flash. Flash is on my list of people to play, but right now I don't even have Starfire at max level. My buddy who plays and actually is the one that paid money for that game because he really wanted to play it after playing your copy of Injustice 1. he figured out how to, like, you know, bot on it, you know, so he just doesn't even play because you can set the AI loadout and it'll play itself. And I did that one day because I had, you know, like, chores, you know, in the living room to take care of, but, like, I could let the computer fight my battles for me and then walk away, and it's, you know, it's
so,
like,
your farming points.
Yeah, wash some dishes. Oh, hey, Starfire 1 next. So, yeah, good times. You know what I really like about it, this is not my words, these are my buddy's words, but they are true words, and I will steal them and pretend they're mine from here on out. It's definitely like the grim, dark, gritty reboot, you know, because Superman's bad and, you know, there's a lot of people die and all of that. But you know what? It kind of nails the landing because all the characters are interesting and they all have something interesting to do and say. And where they sort of fall on the line of, you know, Superman deciding that, you know, basically he's Judge Dredd and he is the law. And, you know, and where they fall on that, because, you know, if you think about it, Superman kind of has a point that maybe they should just be murdering all these people because they do awful things. And, you know, Bruce kind of going like, yeah, but, you know, when you start murdering everybody, sooner or later, you're going to run out of supervillains to murder. And then who do you move on to murdering, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they both have a point. It's something interesting to say. And it's I don't know who's right or who's wrong. It's just mainly Superman's kind of gone off his rocker a little bit too much to kind of back him, in my opinion. But, yeah, I like the storyline, like and the best part is, even though Clark is just murdering fools now, you know, because, like, they do the flashback where he's just lining people up at Arkham Asylum to kill them. you know, I know, or yeah, we noticed something. Clark doesn't swear.
Of course he doesn't.
And it's like, dude's like murdering, you know, people at Arkham Asylum, but he can't drop an F-bomb because that would be wrong.
No, because it's a polite way of committing genocide.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, it's still very true to everybody's characters. Like, the only person who in this alternate parallel universe doesn't seem like their normal counterpart, you know, our counterpart, so to speak, is Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is a bit more on the warrior side of the Amazon and not so much the, you know, compassionate goddess side. But other than that, like, everybody is very much like their normal, air quotes, character, and it's just weird.
I enjoyed it as a sequel. I thought it did a really good job of being a good sequel.
Yeah. No, I thought it was excellent too. And yeah, no, they're just, the storyline's really good. And for people and DC and all that who really seem to want to do the Grimdark reboot, like, pay attention to that. That was an amazing Grimdark reboot. They did everything they needed to do,
and they made it feel like a comic while still making it feel original.
Yeah, well, and comic books work well for fighting games because comic books, a lot of times, it's like, hey, you, I just had a minor misunderstanding with you. I think we should punch each other for a few panels now.
Oh, you want to talk about weird fighting game reference that apparently is now canon?
Hmm.
I was reading the Star Wars Visual Dictionary the other day.
Yeah?
And it was, I was reading the new one for the new movie, and they're talking about those Praetorian guards. The red guard that you see in the trailers around Snoke.
I literally have not seen a trailer or anything of the new movie because I want to go in unspoiled.
this is not in any way, shape, or form a spoiler.
I know they're like the Imperial Guards around the Emperor. Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them in something.
So, interestingly enough, in the visual dictionary, they reference that that they know Terus Kazi as one of their styles. So that's it. Masters of Terus Kazi, the fighting game, back in canon.
Nice.
I'm calling it. It's back. It's back in canon.
That's so awful.
I know, it's so bad. It's so bad. I played the living hell out of that game. I played it so much. I was so desperate for Star Wars back then. It was a dark time, Robert.
It was a dark time in the galaxy. Between the Return of the Jedi and the prequel trilogy, it was a dark, dark time.
It was a dark, dark time.
All we had was what's
don't even get me started on the don't even get me started on the FMV games. Which I also played the living daylights out of. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. Which, by the way, Steam had the X-Wing games on sale for $2.80 the other day, so I bought the entire package of them.
Yay.
You might be losing me to those.
I hated those games. They bugged me.
Why? Like
I played too much Wing Commander back in the day.
There's your problem.
Yeah, it just wasn't Wing Commander, and the controls were more complicated. I'm like, what is this business? Ah!
No, it was never meant to be Wing Commander.
Well, yeah, but that's what I wanted. I wanted Star Wars Wing Commander, and it was something else. And I was like, this sucks. I don't know. Maybe if I played it now, I'd have a different appreciation for it. But in the day,
I'll let you know. I'm going to be playing him again real soon.
Nice.
Well, I've been playing some video games as well. I have been, of course, continuing to play Battlefront 2, which I'm having a great time with. But I also recently, a buddy of mine picked up the Call of Duty game. And so I've been playing through that, and, we're taking a real liberal look at history here.
No, wait, a video game is playing it fast and loose? No way.
Oh, no. It's like, how shall I put this? It's as if we were watching a documentary made by Michael Bay. And I think that about sums up the campaign. It's terrible. Josh Duhamel... God bless you. You just can't act. Stop it. All he does is scream at you the entire game. Fun facts I learned about history playing Call of Duty. A highly trained soldier has the ability to sprint for 15 feet without completely losing the ability to sprint for 30 seconds. Fun fact, shooting Nazis repeatedly in the forehead does not always guarantee that you're going to shoot them to kill them.
Yeah, you know.
If you have not reached a certain point in the scripted sequence, you will not be able to shoot the tank no matter how many bazooka shells you put into it. But then after a certain moment, if you hit it with a machine gun, it will explode.
Well, you know, plot armor, you know, it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a hit from a historical perspective as a former history major.
Are we talking
travesty?
Are we talking about Inglourious Bastards level of getting things wrong? Like, you know, Hitler dies.
Yeah,
in
but Inglourious Bastards was doing it for style, and they were going for something specific. This is doing it for the sake of just pretending that World War II was cool.
And not horrifying and awful.
Yeah, no, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. So avoid the campaign. The multiplayer's fine. It's not for me anymore. I've played a few hours of it. It's just too run and gun, too twitch, you know? So I don't know, it's frustrating. I'm just not in that point in my life anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
and it also feels like every Call of Duty multiplayer ever. I mean, it's just so stagnant.
I have never played one, so I have no idea what that is.
So it might feel fresh and fun for you, but for those of us who have been playing every Call of Duty game, it just feels old. It just feels old and tired. Just the whole series does. It just needs to be put down.
Wow.
It's time.
Wow. Harsh.
Call the vet. It's time to put Call of Duty down.
You know what? We need to move on, man. We're supposed to be a happy, positive podcast. But you're bringing me down, man.
Well, in the happy, positive realm, I keep flying my DCS world, and I've managed not to wipe out another aircraft carrier.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, DCS world continues to be awesome. I'm having a blast with it. I'm just waiting on the new airplanes to come. When the F-14 comes out, I'm just going to fly around inverted all the time.
Are you going to do Highway to the Danger Zone?
I'm going to have it on repeat.
Nice. So moving on to my other. So we went up to my parents' B&B for Christmas, which I've never been to. They've been there for 6 years now, I think. And I just, because of the comic shop I owned and living in Texas, I just couldn't get up there for the holidays. And so we drove up there because we're close now, which is pretty much the reason we moved here. And on the road up there, which is this weird little back road that's going by, you know, I think it's the Hood Canal or something like that. I see the sign, and the sign spoke to me, and it said Highway to the Danger Zone. It was yellow with like red flames, and it was clearly hand painted. And I was like, I like where the sign is going. Go on. And then it's like coming up to the Danger Zone. I'm like, yeah, Danger Zone. I'm in on this. I want. What is the Danger Zone? So we go up a little further. Turns out the Danger Zone is a fireworks booth that was not open. And I was like, aw, my hopes and dreams crushed. The Danger Zone was too dangerous for Christmas. It just can't be open right now. But yeah, I like their method of getting me intrigued and their fireworks stand worked, because if it were open, I totally would have stopped because it was the Danger Zone. And just the progressive signs about the Danger Zone is coming and this is the highway to the Danger Zone. I'm like, yeah, I'm on the highway to the Danger Zone. Woo! It's good times. It's good times. So, Jonathan, I've explained it to you a little bit, right? But my parents moved to the weirdest town I think I've ever been in. Like when I was watching Gilmore Girls and they had that weird little town, I'm like, this town's clearly on TV. Like, something like this does not exist.
You've shown me, you were sending me you were sending me text messages and lots of descriptions.
Yeah.
It was just, it was surreal, the conversation you were sending me.
Yeah, it's a weird town. I was like walking around and I was looking at things and I was like, where's the studio audience? Cause like, clearly I'm not hearing the laugh track and the cameras and I'm not seeing it. But yeah, so my parents moved up to a place called Port Townsend. By the way, I should probably pimp their B&B because, you know, it's the one thing I could give them. Amber Light's Bed and Breakfast. It's delightful. We stayed in the yellow room, I think, or was it the green room? I don't recall, but it was delightful, and you should go there for all your vacationing needs in Port Townsend. I will now send them a bill for $50.
Yeah, fair enough.
So
I get behind that.
Yeah, so Port Townsend was trying to become like Seattle, basically. They were trying to become like the major port town, but the railroad didn't get there, so it failed. So, but the town was pretty big back in the day, so you've got like this old Victorian late 1800s architecture there, like tons of it, old houses, and it's pretty. And then the port died, and so, but the army moved in because it was at a good place to, you know, patrol the Puget Sound. So they built a big old, like, you know, naval base. I think it was Coast Guard. I forget whose base it was, but it had like, you know, a gun emplacement, and the gun was like those super secret guns. So like they would aim them, and then they would fire, and when they would fire, the guns would raise up out of the ground, and then the momentum from the shell leaving the cannon would force the cannon back underneath the ground. You know, like cool stuff, right? But then,
I'm down. Then
that went away because, you know, you don't really need that anymore. So then, like, the hippies moved in. And so there's this weird, like, hippie vibe there, you know, because there's just a lot of really old hippies now that moved in, and just old hippie stuff that's just lurking around. And at some point between now and the hippies moving in, the town managed to make itself into a tourist trap. And so they have bizarre festivals. They have normal festivals there. Like, they have a fiddling festival and like an arts festival and things you'd expect. But one of the larger steampunk conventions in the area, like, goes to Port Townsend. And because of that, I was walking down Main Street of this place. And there was, I forget what the shop was called. I sent you some pictures of it. And I'll put it in the show notes because I'll go looking for it. But it billed itself as Victorian. I'm like, okay. Nautical. I'm like, makes sense. Pirate. Pirate fashion. And I'm like, okay, nautical, pirate, makes sense. Steampunk. And I'm like, well, that rounds out the Victorian end. And yeah, it was a shop open year round that is dedicated to pirate, Victorian, nautical, steampunk fashion. And you
that
know,
is a very specific segment.
It is. And it was doing well. It was a gorgeous store. You could go get like a little thing that you could put on your belt that had a little spyglass in it. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And they had like piratey boots, and it was mostly ladies apparel. There was a couple of shelves for the guys, you know, with like some boots and a couple of t-shirts, but there were a lot of like, you know, corsets, some of them, you know, kind of more steampunky with like spikes and brass, and some of them a little bit more, you know, actual Victorian. Bizarre shop. And I was just like, how does this stay open? But it's Port Townsend, apparently. That's what happens there. And yeah, just a lot of weird stuff like that, you know. And you know, old hotels and old architecture and then more recent architecture. It's this weird mishmash. And I don't know, the town was oddly charming. And I think it's all summed up in the town motto, which is Port Townsend. We're here because we're not all there. And yes, yes, that is the essence of it. So if you get the opportunity, I would suggest it. It was enlightening. I don't know. Like my parents said they fell in love with that place, and I don't know. Maybe I'm not like sappy enough or anything, but I've never like fallen in love with anything. But after going there this past, you know, Christmas, I was like, oh yeah, no, I could see that. I could see that. I understand. And then my small heart grew three sizes that day.
Aww.
So that
biggest lie I've ever heard you say.
What? That I my heart grew? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it is a cold, cold black stone in my chest.
That's the heart I know and love.
Yeah, because I'm so mean.
Grr. You are. You're just you're vicious. You're an animal.
I'm an animal. Tear you up with my teeth and my claws.
You're a manimal. Oh yeah, I went there, baby. If you don't know what a manimal is, look it up on YouTube. And you're welcome. All wrapped up in one.
I'll put the theme on the show notes.
You have to put the opening credits. The opening credits are amazing. You have to put the whole opening credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry and you're welcome.
I learned top secret techniques from, you know, I think Tibet or something. I could turn.
No. He's in the heart of Africa.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And he could turn into a hawk and a jaguar?
Oh, amongst other things, I believe a dolphin was on there as well. I just don't even try and make sense of it. Just go watch the opening credits.
Where's that gritty reboot? Seriously, right? Because like instead of like having a cheesy transformation, he could like tear his skin in half, like Company of Wolves. It'd be amazing. Or like cat people just blah.
Oh yeah, just go watch it. Robert's gonna put it in the show notes, and I can't wait to see the comments on that one. All right, well, moving right along, let's get to the other items that we've had off the shelf. Let's do the quick stuff: movies and TV.
My kid is into parkour, and somehow she started watching Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix, which is like Ninja Warrior.
Wow.
Yeah. No, she loves it. She was watching it. It kind of ran out of steam for her about halfway through. She watched second season first, so she's now going through the first season. And about the first two episodes of the first season, she kind of was like, "And I'm done." But yeah, she started watching that, and she was really into it for a week. And now it's kind of over, but still been watching it. It's an interesting show.
Awesome.
So we're gonna steal a page from them, and we're redoing our point structure later. So instead of giving us a point, we're gonna do it in increments of five. Because then we won't have to worry about quarter points. We can just give ourselves less.
There you go.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
I learned something, man. The media soaked into me, and I am rolling around in my mind, and I am breathing it out for betterness in the show. You are welcome, everybody.
All right. Well, I have had a chance to watch a little bit of TV. I'm just about caught up on Vikings. I had fallen a little bit behind, so I've been watching that. That's been amazing, as always. Jessica and I sat down and watched Bright on Netflix.
How was that? I haven't watched it yet.
Okay, like, I totally understand why it's getting the scores that it is. From a critical standpoint, it's a terrible movie. From a watchability standpoint, it's totally fun. It's fine. They should have just called it Shadowrun the movie.
Nice.
It would have just been easier that way.
I mean, don't
walk into it thinking that you're going to be looking at anything but just a genre flick with a orc paint job, because that's all it is.
Nice. I love it. Are there elves in it or gnomes?
Oh, yeah. They're elves.
Nice.
Why is it that everybody makes elves assholes?
Because elves are kind of dickbags?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, Bright was fun, and it's not deep. Don't try and think during it, okay? If you think you're going to ruin it, just accept it for what it is and have fun with it. It's a fun little movie.
It's like surfing or bodyboarding or whatever, man. Just go on the wave and have fun. Yeah. Don't look around
it's
too
lethal,
much. Because
it's
you might
Lethal
see,
Weapon,
like,
the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
There you go. And don't notice the needles on the beach or the bum taking a poo. Just, you know, just surf the wave, man. Have a good time.
Yeah, just have a good time.
Yeah.
I watched Dunkirk.
Nice.
Which was intense in a variety of different ways. And it had me, and I was loving it up until, like, the last 30 seconds when something completely unbelievable happens, and it just lost me.
Is that
the ending
where,
was just silly.
Is that where Bruce Wayne appears and looks at Alfred, and they have the knowing smile, and he walks away, tying the universes together?
No, that would have been better. That would have been better. No, it's just, you know, it's a very realistic war movie, and then in the last 30 seconds, something so completely silly and unrealistic happens that I just don't even know where to begin.
Nice. All right. Well, you know what? That's in the year of spoiler freeness, so we will leave it there.
Yeah,
and move
I'm not going to say anything else beyond that. Jessica and I actually found ourselves kidless for like 5 days, which never happens. So we went and watched Jumanji in the movie theater.
I know that.
What?
Where you get like rid of the kids and you're like, we should go out to a movie. What is there? And then you look at the list of movies and you're like, this is all crap.
Pretty much.
But we gotta go. We gotta just pick a piece of crap and we're gonna go.
No, but actually, oddly enough, Jumanji ended up being fun.
Oh, there you go.
It has no right being as charming as it is, and I really found myself enjoying it. I walked in wanting to hate it, and I walked out saying, that was a fun hour and a half.
Hmm. Well, you know
again,
what?
Don't think, because if you think, you're going to break it.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, man, he's a charismatic guy.
There's a major, major break in the movie's own logic that annoys me, and I won't say anything more. Ask me about it once we were past the spoilers. But just try not to get hung up on it.
So hello, Jonathan and Robert in the future in A Year in the Life, episode 32.
Yeah, bring that up. Put that in the notes. So that's movies and TVs. What about board games? I see that you had a chance to play a perennial favorite. Seems like such a strong word.
What? I played
classic
Uno with the kid.
Are you still playing it?
We played it a couple times at night. We have not busted it out since, but...
Oh, I just meant that from that first game, because sometimes that game will go forever.
No. We finished like 3 games, because I'm ruthless. Because, you know, one of the ways you make it so your kid doesn't necessarily want to play a game over and over and over is you just don't let them win. You just play correctly. I played correctly, and I won handedly twice, and then my wife won one, and that was it.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, no, my kid really liked it, and she's learning her numbers, so she had a good time, and she just got frustrated she wasn't winning, and then we haven't used it since. And I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't have been so hard on that, because, you know, she did get that for her or for Christmas, and Santa spent $5 on that. And, you know, I don't know if it was worth $5 for 3 playthroughs, or at least Santa doesn't, but, you know, whatever.
Give it time. It'll return, I promise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will. But yeah, no, Uno. Have you seen the... somebody made like a YouTube video where what if Uno was a card game anime? Have you seen that?
No, I'll have to go check that out.
Okay, another random thing I'm going to have to put in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes. I'll watch it. Well, on the board game front, I had a chance to play...
Before we go to board games, because this takes 12 years with you typically, you forgot about my reading.
Oh, did I miss that?
You did.
Oh, you've been working through the Unity book.
Yes, I have.
And you've been texting me a lot about it, which is always a good sign.
Yeah, I have. I almost don't want to talk about it, because I want to try to talk you into a deep dive of it.
Which means you're not going to have to talk me into it. I really, really want to. So let's cap it there, because I really do want to read it.
Okay. Well, you have to. Should we say it's episode 34 is going to be the Unity deep dive?
No, let's wait for the full release.
Well, it might be out by then, because he says he's going to try to get it out this month in January.
Well, I'll tell you what. We will say that the first episode after the full release comes out will be our Unity deep dive.
So, in reality, it'll probably be the second one because of our weird time delay.
Yes.
Okay, I'll hold you to that. I'm going to say I'm going to put on my divination cap, and I'm going to say that's going to be episode 34. I got a feeling about it.
So give us the 3-word synopsis.
I don't have 3 words, but the gist of it is Home Skillet took 4th edition D&D, and so it's like half 4th edition D&D, which I don't want to get into right now, but I actually kind of like 4th edition D&D. It was not executed well, but it had a lot of good ideas. So he took the good ideas portion of 4th edition D&D and then mixed it with a portion of Cypher System, Fate, and Dungeon World, and made a new game out of it. So it's really kind of crunchy and complex in places where crunchy and complexness is interesting, but not overly so, because 4th edition got a little off the rails in that regard. But then it's narrative and fun and light, where it's you don't need to not be narrative and light. So like some systems are handled very narratively, and some systems have a lot of crunch, and it's got a really good mix, and I really like it.
All right, all right. Let's see.
All right, so your board games, sir. Your board games. Tell us about your board games.
Okay, so a lot of board game activity. Most of the stuff we've talked about before, so I'm not going to go into any kind of depth on it. The big one is that for the kids got some board games for Christmas, and we had a chance to sit down and play three of them, and we had a lot of fun. The first was Harry Hopper, which is a game where you set up a bunch of green domino-sized wooden blocks. And then you have these little plastic hopping grasshoppers, and you flick them using different levels of strength and try and knock over your color green blocks. So it's a little dexterity game, and it's super fun and super charming.
Nice.
Then we had a chance to play a game called Sticky Chameleons, which I think I talked about a little because I played it at Board Game Geek Con. And in it, you get these sticky rubber slappy tongues, and I don't know how else to describe them. Like, you have to see them to believe them, and basically there's a bunch of different.
I kind of like tuned out there for a sec because I was checking the Facebook thread I started about this episode and just kind of threw one ear out the other. I hear you talking, and then I hear it's like little slappy rubber tongues, and I'm like, wait, what?
Well, that's exactly what they are. I don't know how else to describe it. They're sticky, tongue-shaped, very, very stretchy rubber tongues, essentially. And what you do is there's a bunch of different insects in different colors, and you roll a couple dice, and it tells you what kind of insect and what color you're going for, and then everybody tries to stick it to their tongue by slapping their tongue down. Now, the best part is, until the person takes it off their tongue and puts it down onto the table, it's still active, so you can actually try and steal it by slapping it out of their hand. So the game gets pretty stupid pretty quick in all the right ways. It's super fun. Super, super fun. And then the last game we played is a game called Terror Eyes. And these are all good games for younger kids. And Terror Eyes, you get three gigantic wooden dice that are all painted up, and they have different eye shapes on them. And you take a card, flip it over, and that shows a pattern. And it's one person frantically rolling the eye dice, trying to make the pattern, while the other people at the table are trying to roll a die that has a hand on it that will allow them to stop the person from scoring. And the first person to finish the pattern and lock it in place gets the point.
Okay.
So it's very quick and very fun, good for younger kids.
Yeah, I could dig that. I could dig that.
Then I actually had a night where I had, Dale. You've played with Dale before.
I've played with the Count of Monte Cristo before, yes.
Yes, yes, indeed. And then we had a mutual friend of ours, Cohen, come over, and then another mutual friend of ours, Jared, and Cohen brought a friend of his, and all of us sat down, and we managed, in one night, mind you, in one evening, we managed to get through a round of Sushi Go, mm-hmm. four rounds of Secret Hitler.
Okay, I could see that.
A round of Seven Wonders.
Fair enough, yeah.
A round of the Godfather Dice Game.
Haven't played it. Don't know how long that would take.
Round of Exploding Kittens.
This is getting ridiculous now.
And I think there might have been something else, but for the life of me, I don't have it in my notes, so I don't know what it was. But either way, like, it was just a stupid amount of games, and we were just, all of us were on point, we were playing quick, and everything was just hauling. Nice. Now, most of those games we've talked about on the show, but we have not talked about the Godfather game. And there's a couple of Godfather games on the market right now. This is called Godfather A New Dawn. D-O-N, not D-A-W-N. And it's from IDW. And it's an interesting game. It's got kind of a Yahtzee mechanic where you're rolling a bunch of dice and trying to get numbers. But you use those number combinations to gobble up territory on a map. You can also turn your dice in to climb up what's called a muscle track. And by climbing up that muscle track, you are essentially giving yourself an opportunity to be stronger than the other players on the table. And if you're stronger, you can actually push somebody out of a territory that that they control, and you can take it over. And basically, at the end of the game, the territories are broken up into scoring sections, and you score those different sections based on who had the most and who had the second most, and then whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins.
Okay, makes sense.
So it's super fun. I had a lot of fun with it. It was an interesting game, and it was our first time playing it for everybody, and we had just a good time playing it.
Yeah, it sounds kind of short. Is it one of those short and sweet, but ultimately good
games?
Yeah,
it took about, with five of us, it took about 60 to 90 minutes, which isn't bad. And it was our first time playing, so we had a little bit of a slow start, and then we all kind of picked up on it and went with it. So I think now that everybody knows how to play, I think we could probably get another play in under 60 minutes easily.
Nice. I like it.
And then finally, I got my Mythic Battles Pantheon Kickstarter in. Did I talk about that last episode?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, I managed to get in a couple more plays, and I am absolutely adoring this game. It is so much fun. It's all scenario-based, and all the scenarios are nice and tight and very well-balanced, and so far, it's just been a pleasure to play.
Yeah, any new combos? Because I think it was like Spartans and Zeus versus like a Kraken or something last time.
No, I've played through that one a couple more times just to kind of make sure that I understand, because when they first present you that scenario, it is in a simplified version of the game where they're just trying to teach you the basics of the game. But then what I went and I added all the rules that we had not put in before.
Okay.
And so I replayed the scenario because I knew what to expect from certain aspects of it. And that gave me an opportunity to bring in the crunchier rules and make things a little more interesting. So I've played that a couple more times. And then we played another one. And for the life of me, I can't think of what the characters were. It was naval-based, so the gameplay was a little bit different. But yeah, the scenarios are really fun. They're really well put together. You know, of course, the minis are absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. But the gameplay really kind of backs it up, and it's super easy to learn, and it's super easy to play, which is always fun.
Nice. Is that it?
All right. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, before we move on, we had a listener request. Brendan, again, asked us in our Facebook group, which you should totally join. I think we've got 5 people now. How badass is that?
It is new, so come help us grow it.
Exactly. So, Brendan, in our Facebook group, he asked us the question, what is on our shelf of opportunity, aka our shelf of shame? But he likes to keep a positive spin on it, which I like. And what do you do about it? My shelf of opportunity personally is filled up with a gaggle of role-playing games that I own and probably never will run. And what I do about it is I'm one of those weirdos. I like reading role-playing games for pleasure instead of like novels, because that's just how I roll. I'm trying to limit myself now. I buy off of DriveThruRPG a lot. And if I'm actually going to run something, I buy the physical copy, so I don't have as much, you know, clutter taking up. But I just keep my eye out for things like we really want to try out Unity, but the adventure that is going to be the Kickstarter exclusive doesn't look like it's going to come out for a little bit, and our window of playing might actually open before that adventure is out. So I went to my old adventures of D&D that I have a metric ton of, and I just was like, oh, this one will kind of fit, so I'll just convert it. So that's what I'm going to do. I just look for opportunities, even if they're not, you know, exactly perfect. And, you know, I do it then. Like, there's an article on the site called the Campaign Postmortem Shackled City. That's a third edition super adventure that I've had for years. And we really wanted to play a super adventure in fifth edition, so I converted that to fifth edition. So, you know, you just gotta look for your opportunities to kind of mix and match and use things where you can. That's what I do with mine. But my shelf of opportunity is huge. Huge. Full of things. So many things. What about you,
Tom? Yeah, my shelf is pretty deep as well. Gosh, I don't even know where to begin. I will say this. This actually ties directly into one of my predictions for the prediction episode.
Ooh.
So I'm going to hold off and not go into anything.
Ooh.
Rather, what I will say is that as we move forward, whenever I'm talking about a game from my shame shelf or shelf of opportunity, whichever you prefer, I will make sure to tag it like that as we move forward.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny that this came up, because literally I'm looking at my list of predictions and...
Bravo!
I don't know. I've got a pretty bold one, which I don't think is going to happen, but I'm going to try.
Bravo! Like, dude, like, Jonathan, there's times where I talk to you and I just want to smack you across the face and be a solo show and talk into a can by myself. But then there's times where the light of your intelligence leaves me in awe and burns out my retinas because I'm staring at godliness. And that, sir, was one of those moments. I have been blinded by the light. And if I knew more of that song, I'd sing it right now.
I was wondering if that's what you were going for.
But no.
Wrapped up like a deuce in the middle of the night?
Yeah, it wasn't coming. I'm tired. It's New Year's Day, man. I was up really late. What do you want?
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our off-the-shelf segment. As always, we want to hear about what you've had off-the-shelf. So hit us up on one of our digital outlets and let us know.
And now, Jonathan, it's time for a year in the life. And in the past future, the episode that this is about aired. But it hasn't yet because I haven't put it all together. But I recorded the bit that you heard at the beginning because I recorded a new bit that says this is a rebroadcast or whatever, like they do on NPR. And I did that today, testing my mic. Ha! Because I'm proactive. So, yeah, but future past. It's like Schrodinger's cat. It exists, but it doesn't exist. But shall we go off? We have 365 seconds to talk about 7th C, the RPG, which we covered in Episode 8, Like a Giant Viking Kool-Aid Man.
Well, I have had the pleasure of watching my email fill up with in notice after notice this past year of more content available from that Kickstarter. I mean, it's just constant. Now, the sad part is that I have yet to have been able to play in a game of this new version of 7th C, which really kind of breaks my heart because I really, really want to. I love the system. I love, love the system. And I just want to jump in.
You know what, sir? I don't know how long your Star Wars game is going to last with the Apocalypse World group, but maybe you should slot that in for a possible, you know, next in line. Just saying.
Actually, we are about 2/3 of the way through our current story arc. And the last two times that we've gotten together, we haven't had enough people because it's a big reveal. And I'm waiting to get everybody onto the next section.
Well, holidays are rubbish for gaming. I'm not shocked.
Yeah, it was optimistic of us to think that we were going to move the game forward during the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
It just didn't happen. A couple times were my fault. A couple times were other people's fault. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So now that we're through the holidays, I have a feeling that we're going to be moving forward.
Nice.
That is definitely a possibility. I will slot that in. I hope somebody else wants to run it because I really want to play in. I want to be in the world. I don't want to be the GM.
Yeah, yeah. I backed the 7th C Katai Kickstarter, and because my wife is Korean, and because she has to put up with our, you know, weird European nonsense of role playing games, I told her that because they're going to release a book that's about pseudo Korea, you know, fantasy Korea, that in turn, because she's had to do that for so many years, we will run a game where, you know, we have to put up with weird fantasy Korean nonsense, and we will run a game there, which has been a bucket list item of mine, mind you, for several years now. I've gotten several role-playing games that, you know, have a pseudo-Korea, but nobody ever really does much with fantasy Korea. It's kind of sad. Like, Kara Tur for D&D, it got, like, 3 pages. It got next to nothing, and, you know, and a lot of them, yeah, fantasy Korea doesn't get anything, but John Wick, I love that man. He's writing an entire thick source book about Han, which is, you know, pseudo-Korea. And the funny part is Han in Korean... Oh, I got to actually look this up. Like what Han is in Korean culture is kind of amazing. Han, cultural Korea. Han is an inherent characteristic of the Korean character and, as such, finds expression implied or explicit in nearly every aspect of Korean life and culture. Han is sorrow caused by heavy suffering, injustice, or persecution, a dull, lingering ache in the soul.
On a very special episode of Forgot My Dice.
That word's amazing. So, yes, I can't wait. I can't wait for that book. I don't know why they named the country after that, but although if you know anything about Korean history, you probably know why they named the country after that word, because, yeah, Korean history is interesting, to say the least. But, yeah, I can't wait. So I'll definitely be running that sooner or later. But, yeah, I'd love to play or run in 7th C. You know, I'm an old man and I don't have as much time as I used to. Like, seriously, if there was like a super adventure where I didn't have to make anything up, I would probably do it in a second, but there just hasn't been yet. So hopefully somebody on the Explorer Society, which is like the DM's Guild of 7th C on DriveThruRPG, will write something that's worth doing. I've been kind of keeping my eye out, but yeah, if nothing like that pops up, I probably won't be able to run it either, at least while the kids are this young. I think that's it.
Alrighty.
Are we done?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. We got farther along on that than we do most of the time. Like,
yeah, I know. And the funny thing is that we haven't played it. it's 365 seconds of desire. We will be back after a short break, and when we return, it is time for, what is it, 2018 predictions, right?
No, Wisdom of Crowds, but there's actually news.
Oh, is there news?
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we return, there will actually be an opportunity for us to discuss some news.
No Kickstarters. Not a lot of news. News.
Do you have a tabletop, board game, miniature game, or RPG that you're going to release for retail?
Or do you have an upcoming tabletop Kickstarter that you're about to launch?
We would love to interview you for a future episode of the Forgot My Dice podcast.
Send us an email to fmdpodcast2016@gmail.com to schedule an interview. Well, now it's time for Wisdom of Crowds, our bi-weekly tabletop news, and for the third episode in a row, non-Kickstarter segment. And so let's get to tabletop news. Now, I know this first one's a little close to your heart, so I'm just going to let you run with it.
Yeah, so we record the episode where, you know, it's like, oh, there's no news about the D&D movie, nothing at all. And then literally the next day, which is given like 9 days before we publish the darn thing, there's news about the D&D movie. Oh, my gosh. So here we go. So there was a lawsuit between Universal and Warner Brothers, if I remember my lawsuit correctly. It got settled. Warner Brothers won. So it's like, oh, cool. Warner Brothers is going to make a D&D movie. So the D&D movie gets announced, and it gets a release date, and guess what? It's no longer Warner Brothers. It's Paramount. And I'm like, okay, when did that happen? But whatever. The release date is July 23rd in the not-too-distant future of 2021. So what, 3 years from now? 3.5 with the summer? So
yeah, 3.5.
Hooray. So it's made by Paramount. They announced a new writer for it, hopefully, which is Werewolf Stud Muffin and Pee Wee Herman best friend, actor Joe Manganiello, who has
done... He's a writer?
Yes! Yes!
How's he got time to write this script when he's busy in Rampage, the movie?
I don't know. But he's a big D&D fan, like a huge one. He did an episode of the D&D podcast, or Dragon Talk, or whatever it's called, and he was talking about how he was not as studly when he was a younger man, and he was in the theater, so, you know, he was kind of a nerd and got picked on. Can you imagine that? He's a big D&D fan, so he's going to write the D&D movie, because he's also a writer. Like, I didn't know that, but I went and looked him up on IMDb, and sure enough, he's got a couple writing credits. So
no kidding, I had no idea.
I had no idea either, you know? He's a Renaissance man. He's a... What was that Mike movie? He was in it.
The Mike movie?
Yeah, the Mike XL... I forget. He played a stripper. He played a dude stripper.
Oh, Magic Mike?
Magic Mike, yeah. He was a stripper in Magic Mike. He was a werewolf. He was Pee Wee Herman's best friend. Renaissance man, sir. And he writes movies. Who would have known? So
yeah, there was a trailer for that Rampage movie before Jumanji.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are we going to leave it at that?
From the director of San Andreas, and I feel that just sums it all up.
You know what? The Rock was in San Andreas, and...
I know. Apparently he and the director are homies.
I watched San Andreas on HBO Now, and it was all right. It was all right. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I don't know. Anyway.
See, here's the problem. I know helicopter physics, and then I watched that movie, and, well, it's broken.
Just surf the wave, man. You know, just surf the wave. Don't see the coral looming up on you. Just surf the wave and have fun.
All right. Well, moving right along.
Hold up. This is the best part. They're going to reboot the G.I. Joe movie, which is coming out first in 2020, then D&D in 2021, and then an unknown... air quotes event film coming in 2022, which is also a Hasbro property.
Battleship 2?
Or maybe Magic the Gathering? Who knows? Who knows? So.
At least there's a lot. Like, if they go for Magic the Gathering, that actually makes a lot of sense, because there would be a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah. There would be. There's a lot of lore, especially in Dominaria. A lot of lore there. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll be good. Hopefully Joe won't let us down. Our nerd hopes are pinned on you, buddy. They're pinned on you.
All right, so moving right along, the Corporation RPG rules are now free on DriveThruRPG. Now, you've been texting me pretty relentlessly about this.
I texted you. I saw something free that I've seen off and on for... I don't know anything about this RPG, but it's one of those things like Corporation and these big bold letters and kind of the art direction of the covers always sort of drew me in. And then it's like cyberpunk, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And then I've never bought it, but then it was like, hey, the core rulebook's free. And I don't know if this is a Christmas thing or just a... all the time thing now. I have no idea, but they're free right now. Hopefully they're free when this airs. There'll be a link. Go download it, because it's free, people. It's free.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with a free RPG. Yeah. You know, just go download it, read through it, and if it's for you, awesome, and if not, well, I mean, hey, you got a little reading in.
Yeah, I meant to read it before the episode aired, but I got caught up in Unity, so it's on my list. I'll get to it sooner or later. So, Jonathan, did you know that January, this month, right now, is New Game Master Month?
So, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, it's a thing that I know Monty Cook's in on it, so I know there's, like, deals and like, events and stuff that are planned, and I will link a few of them in the show notes, but it being January 1st, and I've been so tired today, I haven't really gone and looked. But yeah, it's New Game Master. So if you know a New Game Master, get them something, because game mastering is hard. So that's yeah, PSA.
That's PSA. No joke.
From FMD to you, New Game Master Month. RPG heavy this month. I found a lot of RPG news. Okay, so next up. Jonathan, do you know who Steve Jackson is?
I am well aware of Steve Jackson. You know, he's right here in the Austin area.
That's right. I met him once, actually.
And he's, you know, maker of some actually ginormously selling games.
Uh-huh. Munchkin probably being the big one. But
yeah, Ogre.
GURPS. Car Wars. I know there's more.
Like another 87 flavors of Munchkin?
Mm-hmm. So, but way back in the day, he was just a lowly game designer. And he wrote an article or something for a magazine. And it was about how to make, he felt that, you know, D&D combat was a little too obtuse, and he wanted to make it more what we would call now cinematic. And that series of articles later sort of grew into its own thing called The Fantasy Trip. And then the guy who technically owned The Fantasy Trip promptly shut down his publishing company because he wanted to get out of the gaming business. And for the last 40 years, The Fantasy Trip has been in this weird limbo where the guy who owns the rights doesn't want to make it anymore. And then Steve Jackson has, you know, gotten big enough that he could publish it. But apparently the guy tried to sell it to him once for $250,000, which I don't know if you know role playing. You can make some money in role playing games, Jonathan, but $250,000, if it's not D&D, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Right. So apparently there's an obscure law called Title 17, Code 203, which will allow an author, if a sufficient period of time has passed, which is 35 years plus, to basically get the license of the stuff they wrote for another person revoked, if they can, you know, prove stuff. I started trying to read this law, and it was the law. It made my eyes glaze over. But yeah, Steve Jackson, he did his filings. He waited 5 years after he filed, and then the government just kind of told him the other day, it's like, oh hey, The Fantasy Trip is now yours again. So he doesn't know what he's gonna do with it, but there it is. By our standards today, it's probably, you know, not the best, because it's basically Steve Jackson's house rules to Advanced Dungeons and Dragons first edition. But, you know, as a piece of gaming history, it'd be kind of neat to see it and read it. And now we can, because, you know, a PDF of it can, like, legally exist and not be someone's, like, photocopied five times over relic from a, you know, the 70s or something. You know what I mean?
See, that makes me happy. It makes me happy that it's with somebody that actually wants it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, he doesn't know what he's going to do with it. He says he's kind of keeping an eye on the press release because there's comments enabled on it. I will go look for that and put it in the show notes. But if enough people say they want it, he'll do something with it. What he will do is kind of up to him. But yeah, no, there you go. So if you're interested in seeing this again, just go comment and say, hey, Steve, like, release this again and stuff, I guess. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm so tired. It's New Year's Day, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm a hot mess, too. All right, well, moving right along. Now, we finally get some new info out of Vampire the 5th Edition, which is awesome, because I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I read through the alpha that one day when we were recording. So, not much new news, but they've released the official new logo. So, they've gotten that nailed down. So, yeah, it looks like the art direction's going someplace a little bit different, so it'll be interesting. But, yeah, it's got a new logo. I mean, the game is coming together. I am getting the vibe that come Gen Con, we will be talking about this game, so...
I hope so. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm too. Especially because Ken Height is running it, and he is on record of saying that vampires are monsters, and I think that is something that typically gets lost in Vampire the Masquerade. People kind of think of it as their superhero origin story, and not like, you're a fracking monster with a fracking curse. Like, it's not fun being a vampire.
Yeah, you're consuming an entire another species of sentient being.
Yeah. For food
for
and fun. Yeah.
For food and fun.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. The new logo's nice. It's
very clean.
Very clean. Yeah, very modern. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I think we're going to see that role-playing game at Gen Con. I've got that vibe. I should have made that one of my predictions.
For a modern vampire.
I stress so hard on my predictions, Jonathan, and I should have just done that. Gosh darn it.
Well, too late now. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our news section, Wisdom of Crowds. We will be back after a short break, and it's time for a very special segment. We only get to do it once a year, but it's awesome. It's time for our 2018 predictions.
And I know, people, you like the Kickstarters. I'm sorry. I poked around. There's not a lot going on right now. And, yeah, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. A lot of them, like, kind of just started and ended in a place where we really couldn't cover them, because by the time this comes out, like, I'd love to talk about Kobold Press's monster book that they're doing right now, but it ends in 4 days, and, yeah. And we kind of just missed the boat, because it started last episode, but yeah, it's
just leave it at the holidays.
Yeah, it's awful. So soon, hopefully we'll have something to talk about soon. Anyway,
all right. Well, we will be back after a short break with our predictions.
That's my psychic noises.
There's got to be a way for me to install a mute button from here. We love getting feedback, so please let us know how we're doing by doing one of the following.
You can email us at fmdpodcast2016@gmail.com.
You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/fmdpodcast.
We also have Facebook comments enabled for all our posts at forgotmydice.com.
You can also message us or tweet us on Twitter. Find us at forgotmydice.
You can join us on Patreon, where we post outtakes and other bonus content.
And if you like the show, the best way for more people to find out about us is to give Forgot My Dice a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Store.
Lastly, for those of you who want control to sanction the podcast, pick up your shoe phone and call Agent 82. Chief, it's acceptable to get podcasts on our wristwatches. It won't be distracting.
I just don't even know what's happening right now.
Well, it's classified, Jonathan. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Oh, we've got to get these things upgraded from the 1960s. And welcome back. It is now time for one of my favorite parts of the year, Robert.
Favorite?
Yeah, because I had so much fun last year, so it obviously gets brought up as favorite. It's time for our predictions episode.
Woo!
All right, so let's go over a few rules that we have put in place. These are completely arbitrary rules that actually mean absolutely nothing and are not monitored by any kind of sanctioning body. But we feel it's very important to put these forward. So let's start out with rule number one. It must be something that we can measure in some specific way, shape, or form.
If you just say something vague and weird and then you're like, something vague and weird totally happened, you need to have something to back that up.
Yes. And as a caveat, because of people that we know and people that sometimes talk to us, I will also put a caveat on that it must be something that we do not have any insider knowledge on. And now, next, rule number two. Each correct answer is worth 5 points, but we can assign a 4, 3, or 2 when we're scoring it based on basically a discussion that we have, just kind of similar to what we did in the last
one. Yeah, this just makes math easier, so we don't have any of that stupid, you know, give yourself a quarter point. How about a third of a point? It's like, no. We can just, we're doing it Ultimate Beastmaster. It's 5 points per whatever, but, you know, if we decide to give ourselves less, then so be it.
All right, rule number three. The other person can attempt a steal with a counter prediction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That worked out so well for me last year. So well.
And finally, last rule. You can attempt a bonus point for a super specific prediction. But if you fail, you lose all your points.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, if I, like last year, I said I think they're going to do a story for D&D in one of the classic settings. And if I said I totally think it's going to be Dark Sun, as a bonus point, I'm like, bonus point, it's Dark Sun, totally Dark Sun. Then if it was Dark Sun, I would have won. But say they did Planescape instead, that would have been worth 0 because my bonus point is done. So there we go.
All right. So a couple of extra things that you should know about. I have not seen Robert's. Robert has not seen mine. They are not in our show notes. So when we hear him on the show, it'll be the first time that each of us has heard it. So that keeps it a little more exciting.
Yeah. I'm so excited right now.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get started. Robert, you want to kick us off with prediction number one?
Prediction number one. And I don't say this lightly, but I got this feeling. Superhero movies are going to take a tumble in 2018. Much like zombie movies before them, 2018 will be the year that most superhero movies fail. There will be some notable exceptions, because Infinity War is looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good. But overall, superheroes will not make as much money as a collective genre as they did in 2017. And if we want to get super duper specific with it, like when we measure it or whatever, we could just take the average like we'll find out however many superhero movies, air quotes, were released in 2017. We'll take the same number for 2018, or a number of 2018, and we'll divide it by how much money they made, and we'll figure out the average. But I'm just, the reason I'm thinking this,
so what you're saying is that the per film average
will go down.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason I'm saying this, is a long time ago, and I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, I was watching like the best 50 horror movies or something on VH1, because VH1 likes doing list programs like that. At least they did like 10 years ago when I last watched VH1. Is VH1 still on the air?
I believe so. Okay. I don't know. I'm not one to troll basic cable.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they were talking about, I think it was that show anyway, but they were talking about Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. And, you know, somebody said that when a genre devolves into self-parody, it's kind of like been around too long, and it's kind of on its way out. And we sort of saw that with zombie movies, because Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland were both devolved into self-parody. And I think we've hit that mark with Deadpool. You know, the Deadpool movies are...
Oh, you think Deadpool's ushering that in?
Yeah,
huh?
So I like I said, I think the superhero genre is kind of on its last legs, and doesn't, because there's still been good zombie movies after Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland came out. It's just, I don't think zombie movies I don't think superhero movies are just going to be as big of a draw this year as they were last year. And like I said, there are going to be notable exceptions, because, you know, Deadpool 2 is coming out. Infinity War looks great. Black Panther looks great. But I think overall, it's just going to be a down year for superhero movies.
Well, I could not disagree more. I think it's going to be an off the charts. I think we actually might be looking at the peak year.
The peak year?
Yeah.
Is that your counter? That it, superhero movies that this year will make more money than they ever have? Is that adjusted for inflation, or is that just in gross revenue?
How should I quantify this? I'll say this. I think that superhero movies will do as well or better than they did this year.
Okay.
I think that they're going to go the opposite direction, because I think Infinity War is hugely hyped, and I think it's going to skew all the numbers.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. It's a bold statement. I know. I say this all the time, and it usually takes longer to happen. But I think Deadpool was the usher. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Jonathan, what's your number one?
All right. My number one is in the board gaming arena, and I'll go ahead and talk about the one that I referenced earlier in the show. I predict that I will have whittled my shame pile to zero by the end of the year.
I don't know if I can allow that, because you have absolute control over that. But then again, you do.
But I do not have absolute control over my time.
And you also get a lot of Kickstarters.
I've got at least 6 to 8 Kickstarters coming this year.
Okay.
At least. Some of them are huge, too.
And this is just board games. This isn't like a RPG wall of shame.
This is board games. Okay. Exclusively board games. And I can tell you, just, I'm looking at my shelf right now. One, two, even one little section
of
my shelf.
Okay, yeah. My final verdict is, how many games are currently on your wall of shame?
At least 30, probably more.
All right. I want a list of your wall of shame, just so I can compare it. But if you give me a list, which we do not have to do on the air, because that would make some boring podcasting.
Yes, it would.
I'll allow it.
I will get you a list.
Yeah,
I will get you.
Yeah, that's easy. I'll counter with no, you won't.
I don't think I will either.
But
if I make it a prediction, it's going to get me to work towards it.
I'll go for the bonus point. I think you'll make headway, but I think at the end of the year, you will still be down, I will say, at least 15 games.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because you'll get so much new stuff that the queue will just expand.
Yeah, I'm terrified of the new stuff.
So I for 2 points, I'll go with you will get it somewhere between 20 and 15. But just with the new stuff, you just won't be able to keep up.
Yeah, I'm looking at just one section of the shelving units, and I have those Kallax.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, there's there's 5 in that one alone. There's 5 in that one alone.
All right.
That's 2 boxes of the Kallax.
All right, I'll take that bet.
Oh, looking at the next one, it's not getting any better.
Well, okay, moving on.
I think it's more than 30.
You know what? It's like down. It's in 50. Stone. It's on the tablet. It's all on the tablet of rock.
Going to work towards getting that shame pile to zero.
Okay, there you go.
And like I said, for listener Brendan, I will make sure that every time I hit one of those games, I'll try and bring it up on the air and remember to tag it specifically with the shame
pile. No, it's the shelf of opportunity.
The shelf of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's move on to part three. Prediction number three. Robert, this is one of yours. What do you got?
All right. I'm putting on my divination hat. We're about due for a new big thing in role-playing games. Like, I'm not saying D&D big. I will never, ever say D&D big. But back in the 90s, like, Vampire and White Wolf was big. Like, it hit some sort of cultural zeitgeist. And there's been a couple other games after that, but there hasn't been, like, a new one in a while. And even then, it wasn't, like, as big as Werewolf and The World of Darkness and all that. So I'm going to say that this year, and I don't know how to quantify this, because we can't say it's, like, you know, embedded itself in the RPG culture, because I don't think that'll be obvious this year, but I think something will come out this year that will surprise us, because we won't see it coming, and it will be huge, and it will be some game that everybody's talking about. And
so how are you going to quantify it? That's tough.
I know. Well, you know what? I'm just going to have to leave that up to you, sir. When we come back to this a year from now, I'm going to ask you the question of, is there a game like this just based off of your general knowledge? And I will bow to you.
And it has to be new, right?
Yeah, I think maybe not like new, but like just something will hit in a really big way and just be
that is not D&D.
It is not D&D. It is the other,
like in a 7th C way.
Yeah, but even then I don't hear about a lot of people playing that. Like, this will be something that just a fair amount of RPG nerds seem to be trying out and seem to have an opinion about, even if they hate it.
Yeah, but that Kickstarter made stupid money, so I'd say that 7C hit in a big way.
Yeah, but I it might even be bigger than that, because like I said, now it doesn't seem like 7C is as big. You know, I mean, it'll just be something huge that'll just stamp the RPG collective mind in a way that we haven't seen in a while. So, yeah,
and it has to be released in 18, right?
Yes, may not released, but this is the year where that will come to the fore, and it will be big.
All right. That's an interesting one. It's going to be tough to quantify, but we can give it a shot.
And like I said, disagree. I will leave this up to you. And I want you to be honest. I don't want you to go trolling for points, because this is...
No. You know that. I'll play fair. Okay. If it's there, you get the points. So be
okay,
it.
Okay. I appreciate that. I trust you, because this is a silly game. Like most role-playing games, I don't think we would cheat, so...
I disagree. I don't think that we're going to see the big earth-shattering one.
Well, that's an easy one. I set you up for that.
Because I think we would have heard about it.
Do you want to go for a bonus point and go for something specific that you'll hear instead?
Just RPG wise, gosh, I'm just trying to think. I can't think of anything. Can you?
No. Well, I think the only counter will be that like D&D will reach spectacular new heights and it'll overshadow everything. But yeah.
Well, yeah. See, that's what I was thinking too. I don't see anything coming near to tickling D&D.
I'm not saying it will.
I think D&D is going to report better adoption than ever before.
I don't doubt that.
I think that, like, that can easily be evidenced in the sales figures that have been talked about for.
You see, I'm not saying that D&D won't be big and continue to be big. I'm just saying there's going to be something else that comes out that just, it seems like everybody's got an opinion about. You know, it's like something else, and there's, you know, it'll be like, you know, it'll just, I don't know. I just feel like there's a void. Like, there's not that also-ran game that is just huge. Not like World of Darkness huge back in the 90s. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be something that, because I think we need it. I think the time is ripe for the alternative to D&D to be big enough in its own right.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll see. I do not know how to counter that. I will just say that I think that, I don't know. I think that we'll see a lot of RPGs for sure. I just don't see any of them having that big of an impact.
Okay.
All right. Well, time for my number two. My number two is turning to the
movie. This would be number four, because you said
prediction number four, my number two.
There we go.
I'm going to have to turn to the Star Wars universe, and I'm going to say that, given all the baggage that the Han Solo movie comes with, I think that they are going to salvage the movie and have a Metacritic, or pardon me, not a Metacritic, they will have a Rotten Tomatoes score of 75% or higher, but it will still be the lowest grossing Star Wars movie of all of the group. I think they're going to salvage the movie. They're going to make it something interesting, but I think it will be the lowest grossing of all. What would it be? Ten movies.
Can we add a new rule to this? And I can say, like, I'll buy that stock because I think you're right.
So you're going to agree with me for a bonus point?
I'll agree with you for a bonus point.
I think that's fair.
we'll figure it out. I think you're right on that one. I
think they'll salvage the movie. I really do. I think that with Ron Howard and with Kathleen Kennedy, I think we'll manage to salvage it. I just don't know that they're going to be able to salvage the sales.
I could buy that. Yeah, I don't disagree. So we'll see. We'll see. We could be wrong. We could be hilariously wrong. It could be quite good. We'll know in a year, I guess.
Yes, we will. And the nice thing is that's set to come out, what, December, right?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I guess a little earlier.
I have no idea.
All right. Well, let's move on to prediction number 5, Robert's number 3.
So here we go. I think this is it. I think this is the year somebody is going to take the lessons from Mansions of Madness / Imperial Assault and actually take a stab at getting an app-based RPG, and they'll do it right. The app may not be out this year, but it might be a promising-looking Kickstarter or just an announcement or something, but it won't make the mistake of, you know, not requiring you to actually physically roll dice or something. You know what I mean? Like,
So it'll be an RPG, but it's app-driven?
It's completely app-driven.
But it's not a video game.
But it's not a video game. No, right? No, no. You sit around at the table, okay, like the GM describes it, but then...
I want to make sure we're being 100% clear.
Right, but combat is handled within the mechanics. You may physically roll dice, and then you tell the app what you rolled, and then it will determine how badly critters get damaged. But, yeah, I think... Because there's been a lot of app-based RPGs where they miss that mark. It'll be something. It'll be something like the way that, you know, Fantasy Flight doesn't forget to make you actually play the board game, which a lot of games like that have forgotten up until now. But I think it'll be an RPG. It'll use the app exclusively. Like, you'll have, like, your players will have a character sheet, which will be on the app. You know, there will be no physical books. It'll just be entirely app based.
But they'll still be dice rolling, and it will still be a traditional role playing.
Yes.
Game. So it'll find that same sweet spot of that Mansions of Madness.
Right. But it'll have like a game master. It won't be playing itself like Mansions of Madness, but they'll have a game master. The game master will invent adventures, and you know it'll have to, like, you know, the game master will have to pick monsters ahead of time or whatever. But it'll, you know, the combat and the mechanics and tracking the hit points, that'll all be done on the app, and you will know very little, or, you know, all of that under the hood stuff will be under the hood, and you won't have to pay attention to it. You won't have to learn a complex rule system. It'll just sort of handle it for you. But, like, it may involve miniatures where you do miniature combat, but, you know, it doesn't. And that's up to the GM of, like, who attacks what, you know what I mean? But yeah, it won't forget the physical side of it that I think is what people screw up on. But it will be an entirely app-driven game where you won't have physical books. It'll just be, you know, app-based stuff.
All right.
Do you have a counter? I mean, the counter's easy, which is no, it won't.
I don't think we're going to see that this year. I do not.
Now, I will mind you. Again, it may not come out this year. I think we'll see somebody working on it, and it will look promising. That's my very specific prediction on it, because I apps and programming, if something like that was going to come out this summer, I think we would have heard about it by now. I think we'll start hearing rumblings of something that'll look promising this year.
Okay, I'm going to say that we don't see that this year.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Jonathan, final prediction. Take us out, man. Take us out.
All right, final prediction. I think that we are going to see a new revenue record for a tabletop Kickstarter this year.
Mm. Board gaming or RPG, either or?
Just qualifying that as tabletop.
Tabletop.
We'll include both categories.
Okay. So somebody will beat 7th Sea, or somebody will beat one of the Zombicide games.
Yeah, we'll see one of the big records go down. I don't think Zombicide has it now. Doesn't the reprint of Gloomhaven have it?
Yeah, or Kingdom Death. But yeah. Okay. One of the two.
Hold on, let's go.
Yeah, that's true. Why are we thinking when we have the internet? I know 7th Sea's got it for the RPGs. Like, that's a done deal. So for RPGs, somebody's going to have to beat 1.3 million for 7th Sea, and for board gaming, the record held by Kingdom Death is an impressive, where is it?
12.393 million.
Yeah, almost 12.4 million. So I will let you have this, but it has to beat the record, which is the top spot. You can't say it's like, oh, someone beat fourth. Someone's got to clear the hurdle.
I think we're going to have a new number one. I really do.
Okay.
I think
someone's going to clear one of the bars. Okay. I'll buy that. The counter, I could see it happening possibly for RPGs, but for board gaming, there's no way. So I'll just say.
You don't think?
No, I don't think anybody will beat Kingdom Death this year. Kingdom Death was extraordinary. Like, I can't imagine anybody doing
it. We beat it. Two of the records were shattered this year.
I know. 12.
The Seventh Continent and Kingdom Death were both in 17. And that's number one and number three on revenue.
I don't know. I'm going to say Kingdom Death. Yeah, I'll just say no, it won't. Very specifically, I'll say no one's going to come close to beating Kingdom Death. Kingdom Death won't happen this year.
All right.
Kingdom Death was just
there you
so
have
huge.
It
was so huge.
Yeah, it is a stupid amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm glad that I opened that up to RPGs as well, because I think I might have a chance.
Yeah, I could buy an RPG.
Some of my predictions are stupid.
You know what, though? What if the RPG that you get here is the RPG that makes me win the last one?
Huh? Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Synchronicity. We'll see. We will see what the future holds. Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Alrighty. So I think that's it, yeah?
Yeah, that's my three. By the way, before we wrap up, hi future me who's listening to this episode taking notes. How you doing, buddy?
Suck it.
I'm fine. Close us out, Jonathan. Play us away.
Suck it, future Robert.
What?
You'll laugh when you hear that.
Yeah, I will. All right,
that brings us to the... What?
Play us out, Johnny.
Boom, boom, yeah, boom. I'm going to play you out, keyboard cat. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Forgot My Dice podcast. As always, join us on any of our digital forums and just keep the discussion going. The Facebook group is shaping up nicely. I've started to see a little bit of a conversation there, which is always awesome. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter, on the regular Facebook, on Pinterest.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while.
You can find Robert trolling the Gilmore Girls forum, you know.
I don't troll.
It's all the regular stuff.
I don't troll.
What?
I don't troll. We have very, very on-topic discussions. Like, if they do...
There you go.
Season 9, will they deal with Rory's pregnancy?
All right, and we're just going to talk right over that. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Forgot My Dice podcast. As always, we're going to end with another amazing, mind-blowing, life-enhancing final thought from Robert. Robert, final thoughts.
I'm trying to come up with something clever, but I think I should be a good podcast host and remind all of you to take to Twitter at Forgot My Dice, at Stronghold Games, hashtag FMD contest. Tell us what the scariest space monster you can think of. Try to get yourself a copy of Space Freaks. It's a free game. So, yeah, do it. Do it right now. Right now. Stop what you're doing right now. I don't care if you're driving. Crash that car. I don't care. I do care. Don't do that. Don't do that, people. I'm just kidding. But do it when you stop. Pull over. Pull over to the side of the road. Go to a Subway. Get a sub. They're closing so many of them, you won't have an opportunity much longer. Jonathan?
That was the most random transition into Subway I've ever heard. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Forgot My Dice podcast. We will, of course, be back with you in 2 short weeks with episode 33, which we have done absolutely no planning on, so we have no way to tease it, but it will be awesome.
No.
And with that, Robert, party on.
Party on, Jonathan.
The music you heard in this podcast was Intro by Elefiel and Retro Funk by Persephone, both used with permission via the Creative Commons license.